Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Be seated. The first Sunday of Advent is the first Sunday of a new church year, which means this one thing, that another church year has gone by and Jesus didn't come. There have been almost 2,000 of them now, and the church is still waiting. Every year we proclaim that Jesus is coming back, and every year so far, he has not. Are you disappointed? Admit it, you're not, are you? Because if you're like most people, you really don't want this world to end. As bad as it is, and as bad as the news gets, it's home. And the thought of it ending frightens you. So, better to not think about it. Just keep on the best you can. And also, because you've got stuff to do and things you want to enjoy. Kids and grandkids to watch grow up, careers to pursue, tickets to the game, and Christmas is coming. Wouldn't want to miss that. Imagine just finding that right gift for that hard-to-buy-for person who has everything. You've searched and searched and thought, and you finally found just the right gift that's going to both surprise and delight them. And then Jesus comes again, and you don't get a chance to give it to them. What a bummer that would be, huh? But the truth is, as much as the church speaks of Jesus' return at the end of the church year, we really don't give it much thought. We just expect things to continue as they have for so many years. But it was not always so. The Jews in Isaiah's time, another year went by, and they were disappointed that God did not rend the heavens and come down and save them and deliver them. And the Christians in the city of Corinth, Paul says, were eagerly waiting for the revealing, or in the Greek, that's the apocalypse of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, what would change your mind? What would it take for you to be like the Jews of Isaiah's day or the Christians in Corinth, truly disappointed when not another year, but another day went by without Jesus coming again? What would it take? Maybe if you were in prison, with no chance of parole, or on death row, Jesus coming again would then be a relief and a release for you. Or maybe if you had a terminal disease, or a disease that won't kill you, but just lingers and goes on and makes life really tough. Jesus coming again would mean less suffering for you. Or, what if you had overwhelming debt that you could not pay? Or, ISIL terrorism starts infiltrating our communities? Or, what if the rioting, like what we saw in Ferguson this week, starts burning your home and your business and your car? What would it take for you to pray, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, come now. And really mean it. Well, I'm not going to pray that any of that stuff happens to you. But every Advent, we are reminded that all that I just described is exactly the situation we are in spiritually, whether we realize it or not. You have a disease called sin that's eating away at you and has put you on death row. Satan is terrorizing you, and your own sinful urges join in the spiritual rioting of anger and bitterness and rebellion against God and against others. Jesus not coming again means we've had another year of amassing a debt of sin we cannot pay, both of doing what our Lord has forbidden and not doing what He has commanded. And maybe that has caused you to look at yourself and look at the world and wonder, when is it going to get any better? Advent tells us when Jesus comes again. That's what it's going to take. You can't do it, no matter how hard you try. Our elected leaders can't do it. They're sinners too, in case you haven't noticed. So in Advent, we turn our eyes again to the one who can. Not that we haven't been looking at Him all year. We have, for forgiveness, for help, for strength, for wisdom, for the new life that we need. All of that, yes. But Advent is different. Advent means to come. And especially this season, we pray for that. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Come now. We sing it in our hymns. O come, Emmanuel. And Savior of the nations, come. We pray it in our colics, that the Lord would stir up His power and come. And that the Holy Spirit would come and stir up our hearts to repent. You may not pray those things at home or on your own. So we pray them here. And fix our eyes on the one who has promised to come and save us. And how we do that, how we look to the one who has promised to come again, is by looking back to when He did come. The first time. When He rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. He came as He promised, though it took a long time. He came as promised and took our place on death row with the guilt of all our sin. He came as promised right into the rioting madness of evil. He came as promised into Jerusalem that day and went to the cross to give Himself and all that He is for you, to Hosanna you, to save you. Now the people then didn't understand the significance of what Jesus was doing, not even the disciples. Just like us today, many of them were probably looking to be saved from the things and problems and fears of this world, not from their sins. They probably were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Because they wanted Jesus to restore the kingdom of Israel and free it from Roman rule and be that kind of king. Just as we often want Jesus to be that kind of king. And stop the rioting, stop the wars, stop the hatred, so we can live in this world in peace. Now, it's not wrong or bad to want those things. But realize that Jesus did not come to be that kind of a king, or to give that kind of a peace for them or for us. His mode of transportation that day made that obvious. Kings or warriors don't ride young, untamed colts or donkeys. They ride strong, well-trained stallions. And his honor guard showed that too. Not soldiers, but common people and children with coats and tree branches. But it was one other thing that shouted it the loudest. And that was his throne. Earthly kings rule from bejeweled thrones. They don't reign from a cross. And so with colt, coats, and cross, we see that Jesus has come to do something quite different. Something much better. To provide a peace and a salvation for us, not just for a time, for 8 or 9 decades, or however long we're given, if we're given even that many, but a peace and a salvation forever. And so in the midst of this world of trouble, we sing our Hosanna too, to our King who comes to us in just as unlikely a way as on colt, coats, and cross. As he comes to us in simple bread and wine of his supper. It's not even good bread and wine. It's kind of ordinary at best. But whether it's on a donkey's colt or in bread and wine, it is, as we sang in the intro, it your King coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Your King coming to you with His forgiveness and with His life for you, so that in the midst of the rioting and the wars and the troubles and the hatred of this world, we have hope and we have peace. A peace that surpasses understanding and supersedes time and space. A peace with God to have now and that lasts forever. So Advent proclaims, behold, your King is coming to you now, just as He promised. And He is coming again, He will, just as He promised. For He came just as He promised. He is faithful. And you who sang earlier, O Lord, how shall I meet You? Well, meet Him in the same way He came to meet you. Not in your strength, but in humility. Not in pride, but in repentance. Bring your sins for your King to take away and Hosanna you. And as you do that, this season, every week, and even every day, you are focused on the better. You are looking at your King and preparing for the end. For that day when Jesus comes again, as He promised. And as you do that, you are looking, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, to the one who enriches you and supplies you and sustains you to live now, to live in your vocations, to love and to serve until He comes again. That you be ready. If this be the year, if this be your final advent, for 1 year, one day, it will be. He will come. And when He does, you will not be disappointed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.